Hey, it's Monday morning. DJ Bennett here, your faithless host. And, of course, the big news today is about the killing of Osama bin Laden, which evidently happened yesterday. People were saying that this event happened a week or so ago, and they're just getting the news about it. But, no, it appears that it happened yesterday morning or on Saturday. I mean, this just happened. And they've already buried Osama bin Laden's body at sea because the proper Islamic tradition is within 24 hours. And on top of that, since we're already seeing a bunch of very unseemly activities by people in this country in response to this, they want to see the body carted through the streets. They want to look at the corpse. That's sick. So I'm glad that they got it. They have photographs, they have the DNA that proves that it was bin Laden, and they buried him. He's done. So we're not going to be carting the corpse through the streets so that people can cheer and act like the bunch of dickheads that they've been acting like and that they do act like. With the death of Hitler, the Nazi Party was finished. Since Al-Qaeda was actually created by bin Laden himself, with the death of bin Laden as the figurehead, are we going to see the end of Al-Qaeda? Does this mean that it will stop jihad against the United States? No, of course not. In fact, I'll bet that the next terrorist activity that we see, and it'll be coming up very soon, if not this week, will probably be from some homegrown terrorists right here in the United States who've never been overseas. Of course, we have all kinds of terrorists. I mean, I'm really interested in seeing how quickly they're going to turn on our president. Obama makes this speech, and, you know, let's look at this. George W. Bush, who said we've got to kill bin Laden back in 2001, said a year later that he didn't think about bin Laden anymore. So there is no declaring that this was really a victory for Bush. And I know that the right wing are going to try to do that. They're going to try to say that this is a Bush victory because he was the one who was after bin Laden. No, he wasn't. He gave up, shrugged him off, said he didn't think about him anymore. So this is definitely an activity that our president, Obama, deserves the credit for going in and doing this and taking care of business, which Bush didn't do. So I hope that this means that Obama has just gotten himself reelected because of this. But like I say, the turn is about to happen. I tried to watch some of the faux news last night with the intention of seeing if they were going to turn on the president. And most of the people that I saw did not. They were praising the actions and the taking care of business part of this. Though I did see at least one person, I don't know anybody on Fox because I don't regularly watch it, but one guy, it was obviously sticking in his throat to say anything good about Obama, because you know that the agenda on the Fox News is never say anything good about Obama because we want to do everything possible to make sure that he does not get reelected. That is their number one priority. That's more important than their advertisers, is to attack Obama. So here was one guy who was having a hard time saying anything good about Obama. But what's her name? Greta Van, whatever that woman is. She was saying this was a good thing that Obama did. So it's difficult for these people, but they're going to turn. They're going to turn on him. It's already started, I'm sure, by today. Also, I'm really intrigued about what the 9/11 truthers are going to do about this. And that's why I'm doing this segment for your delectation. I'm an anti-9/11 truther, okay? I think those people deny reality. Deniers only listen to other deniers. They live in a circle of denial so that they can never see outside their circle. They can never listen to anybody else. When our president does something like this, makes this kind of announcement, they have to listen to it. And it's very, very difficult for them because they have their own personal belief system. We're in this world today where you can, online, you can surround yourself by like-minded people. You might not know anybody in the real world who thinks like you do, but online, you can just be surrounded by them so you don't have to listen to anybody else. And most people, most average Americans, have never heard of the 9/11 Truth Movement, don't know that it even exists, and when you explain it to them, it makes them angry that people think like that. Okay? But I am looking forward to seeing what the 9/11 truthers will do about this, other than report it, because this affects their way of thinking. Back in 2007, I was doing on-air debates about 9/11 truth. I dealt with Chris Burnett, one of the founders of Kill Radio, who is a 9/11 truther nutcase, as far as I'm concerned. He's a good guy. I really like Chris, but he threw all reality out the window when he embraced 9/11 truth with its magic powder and its spooky ideas that nobody else but they can see. Okay? And let me repeat that it's always appropriate to ask questions. When you have questions about a news event, asking questions, there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to be willing to listen to the answers. Now, maybe in the first few hours after September 11th, you could ask questions and there weren't any answers. But it's almost 10 years later, folks, and we have answers. So if you're going to ask those stupid questions, you better be prepared to be put down if you don't listen to these simple answers. Okay? Now, in 2007, you can go to Radio for All and you can listen to a debate that I did where I tried to listen to the things that Chris said. He didn't convince me of anything, but I listened to him. And one of the things he said was that bin Laden was a creation of the CIA, that there was no such thing as bin Laden, that he is a false image, and that it will be proven. So I turned around and I did a timeline for Osama bin Laden. I looked up his history and I recorded a short, brief summary of bin Laden's lifestyle. And so I'm going to play that right now. This is a repeat of my piece from 2007.
When I did my interview with Chris Burnett last week, he said that the hijacker story couldn't possibly be true because a few Arabs in a desert and a guy in a cave could never have pulled off the horrible events that happened on September 11th. And I don't think that this was intended by Chris, but I think that the idea that a guy in a cave and that a bunch of Arabs in a desert couldn't have done this is sort of a racist thought, right? I mean, Arabs can do anything Americans can do. An airliner full of jet fuel is a very destructive flying car bomb. What they did on September 11th wasn't that different from what seems to happen almost every bloody day in Iraq and in Jerusalem and throughout the Mideast, these car bombs and stuff. To say it's impossible for these people to do this is, I don't know, begging the question, I guess. So let's run down a timeline here. 1957, so he's younger than me. Osama bin Muhammad bin Awad bin Laden is born in Riyadh. He is the 17th of 52 children sired by Muhammad bin Laden, Saudi Arabia's wealthiest construction magnate. In 1979, bin Laden graduates from the King Abdul Aziz University in Jeddah with a degree in civil engineering. 1986 to 1989, according to Islamic sources, bin Laden participates in numerous battles during the Afghan War against the Soviets as a guerrilla commander, including the fierce Battle of Jalalabad, which led the Soviets to finally withdraw from Afghanistan. Bin Laden was not trained by the CIA. By the way, there really is no evidence that bin Laden and Bush signed the same document forming our Arbusto Oil Company. There's no real evidence of that. In 1992, according to the current indictment against bin Laden, from 1992 on, bin Laden and other al-Qaeda members stated privately within the organization that A, al-Qaeda should put aside its differences with Shiite Muslim terrorist organizations, including Iran and its affiliated terrorist group Hezbollah, to cooperate against the perceived common enemy, the United States and its allies. And B, the U.S. forces stationed on the Saudi Peninsula, including both Saudi Arabia and Yemen, should be attacked. And C, the U.S. forces stationed in the Horn of Africa, including Somalia, should be attacked. In 92, he said we should attack. December 29, 1992, a bomb explodes in a hotel in Aden, Yemen, where U.S. troops had been staying while en route to a humanitarian mission in Somalia. The bomb killed two Austrian tourists. The U.S. soldiers had already left. Two Yemen Muslim militants trained in Afghanistan and injured in the past are later arrested for this bombing. U.S. intelligence agencies allege that this was the first terrorist attack involving bin Laden and his associates. 1993, Sudan is placed on the State Department's list of countries that sponsor terrorist activities, which is why later, when he was living in Sudan and Sudan was trying to give us bin Laden, we were not negotiating with terrorists, so we didn't deal with it. According to the U.S. government charges, bin Laden's followers try to obtain components of nuclear weapons and begin to work with Sudan's NIF to develop chemical arms. That was reported in the U.S. News and World Report in 98. February 26, 93, the World Trade Center bombing in New York City. October 3 and 4, 93, 18 U.S. troops are killed in an urban attack in Mogadishu, Somalia. American law enforcement, intelligence, and national security officials are divided as to whether, as a federal indictment charges bin Laden and his adherents, helped train and arm the men who killed the U.S. troops. February-March 95, Ramzi Youssef, mastermind of the World Trade Center bombing, is captured in Pakistan and extradited to the United States. A search of his former residences leads investigators to believe he is financially linked to bin Laden. Also, he had stayed at a bin Laden-financed guest house while in Pakistan. June 1995, unsuccessful assassination attempt on the life of President of Egypt, Hosni Mubarak, in Addis Ababa. U.S. intelligence sources believed bin Laden was somehow linked to that. August 95, bin Laden wrote an open letter to King Fahd of Saudi Arabia calling for a campaign of guerrilla attacks in order to drive U.S. forces out of the kingdom. Again, bin Laden was deeply impressed when the U.S. was in Beirut, Lebanon, and in 1983 a bomb blew up a Marine barracks, killing 270 Marines. And shortly afterwards, the Americans pulled out of Lebanon. Bin Laden saw that terrorism could affect American activities. November 13, 1995, five Americans and two Indians are killed in the truck bombing of a U.S.-operated Saudi National Guard training center in Riyadh. Bin Laden denies involvement but praises the attack. That was in the Washington Post. May 1996, the Sudan expels bin Laden because of international pressure by the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. Bin Laden then moves back to Afghanistan. May 31, 96, the four Saudi men accused of bombing the Saudi National Guard Training Center in Riyadh are beheaded in Riyadh's main square. Before their execution, they are coerced by the Saudis into a public confession. In the confession, they claim to have read bin Laden's communiques. Spring 1996, President Clinton signed a top-secret order that authorized the CIA to use any and all means to destroy bin Laden's network. June 25, 1996, a large truck bomb devastates the U.S. military residence in Dahran called Khobar Towers, killing 19 servicemen. The U.S. military initially linked bin Laden to the attack, but now believe a Saudi Shiite group was responsible. U.S. investigators still believe that bin Laden was involved in that attack. August 23, 96, bin Laden signed and issued a declaration of jihad outlining his organization's goals. Drive U.S. forces from the Arabian Peninsula, overthrow the government of Saudi Arabia, liberate Muslim holy sites, and support Islamic revolutionary groups around the world. He declares that the Saudis have the right to strike at U.S. troops in the Persian Gulf. November 1996, Gwynne Roberts conducts interview of bin Laden for the British documentary program Dispatches. Bin Laden threatens to wage an Islamic holy war against the United States and its allies if Washington does not remove its troops from the Gulf region. May 1997, CNN airs an interview with Bin Laden in which he criticizes U.S. occupation of the land of the holy places. July 1997, according to Islamic sources, a U.S.-backed multinational mercenary force is formed with the aim of abducting or killing Bin Laden. Witnesses claim to see 11 black land cruisers crossing into the Afghan city of Khost, with two helicopters. A source said the force was composed of 1,000 non-U.S. mercenaries. February 98, Bin Laden issues joint declaration with the Islamic group Al-Jihad, the Jihad movement in Bangladesh, and the Jamaat-ul-Ulema-e-Pakistan under the banner of the World Islamic Front, which stated that Muslims should kill Americans, including civilians, anywhere in the world. May 1998, ABC's John Miller interviews Bin Laden in Afghanistan. June 1998, a raid is conducted in Albania against a cell of an Islamic terrorist movement by security personnel from the U.S. and Albania. Two suspected employees of Bin Laden are arrested. The CIA takes custody of a vanload of documents and computer gear. 2 weeks later, another raid was conducted and two more suspected Bin Laden associates arrested. They were Egyptian nationals and were turned over to anti-terrorist officials in Egypt. All were associated with the Islamic Revival Foundation. The source of that is the Washington Post in 98. June 8, 1998, the grand jury investigation of Bin Laden, initiated in 96, issues a sealed indictment charging Bin Laden with conspiracy to attack defense utilities of the United States. Prosecutors charge that Bin Laden heads a terrorist organization called Al-Qaeda, the base, and was a major financier of Islamic terrorists around the world. August 6, 1998, the Egyptian Jihad group sent the United States a warning. They would soon deliver a message to Americans, which we hope they read with care, because we will write it with God's help in a language they will understand. That was in the New York Times, August 21, 1998. Two simultaneous explosions at U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. The bomb in Nairobi, Kenya, kills 213 people, including 12 U.S. nationals, and injures more than 4,500. The bomb in Dar es Salaam kills 11 and injures 85. No Americans died in the Tanzania bombing. August 12, 1998. The small group of presidential advisors meet with Clinton, reportedly with evidence that Bin Laden is looking to obtain weapons of mass destruction and chemical weapons to use against U.S. installations. U.S. intelligence also reportedly intercepted a mobile phone conversation between two of Bin Laden's lieutenants that implicated them in the embassy bombings. August 20, 1998, U.S. retaliation against Bin Laden. Cruise missiles attack a suspected terrorist training camps in Afghanistan and Al-Shifa, a pharmaceutical plant in Khartoum. U.S. intelligence claims that Al-Shifa is tied to the production of chemical weapons for Bin Laden. The Sudanese government vehemently denied these claims. U.S. adds Bin Laden's name to list of terrorists whose funds are targeted for seizure by U.S. Treasury in order to shut down the financial pipelines that allegedly subsidized Bin Laden's terrorist activities. Washington Post, August 28, 1998. September 23, 1998, U.S. senior administrative officials admit that they had no evidence that directly linked Bin Laden to the Al-Shifa factory at the time of retaliatory strikes on August 20. Intelligence officials found financial transactions between Bin Laden and the Military Industrial Corporation, a company run by the Sudan's government. November 4, 1998, a new superseding indictment is issued against Bin Laden, Muhammad Atef, and a host of other suspects. They are charged with bombing of two U.S. embassies and conspiring to commit other acts of terrorism against Americans abroad. Two rewards of $5 million each are offered for RF and Bin Laden. RF is described as Bin Laden's chief military commander. January 16th, 1999, the U.S. Attorney's Office files its most complete indictment to date of Osama bin Laden and 11 other suspected members of his terrorist organization. The grand jury charges the men for conspiring to kill American nationals. The first count of the indictment charges that several of the co-defendants acted with other members of Al-Qaeda, a worldwide terrorist organization led by bin Laden, in a conspiracy to murder American citizens. The objectives of the terrorist group allegedly include killing members of the American military stationed in Saudi Arabia and Somalia, killing United States Embassy employees in Nairobi, Kenya, and Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and concealing the activities of the co-conspirators by, among other things, establishing front companies, providing false identity and travel documents, engaging in coded correspondence, and providing false information to the authorities in various countries. May 29, 2001. Four followers of Osama bin Laden are found guilty of charges stemming from the 1998 U.S. Embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania. Mohammed Rashid Daoud al-Awhali, Kalfan Khamis Mohammed, Mohammed Sadiq Odeh, and Wadi El-Hage are convicted of charges including murder, conspiracy, and perjury after a 9-week federal trial during which prosecutors called over 90 witnesses, including Al-Qaeda informants and survivors of the bombings. Awali and Mohammed face the death penalty at their sentencing, while Odeh and El-Hage face life in prison. In other words, the man has a history. We have a deeply documented history, including other terrorist acts and calls for jihad and calls for attacks on Americans anywhere. To state that Osama bin Laden was a creation of the CIA is not true. He was not invented by the CIA. He was not trained by the CIA. He was not funded by the CIA. Other people who associated with him definitely were. See my 9/11 timeline that I did last week. Many people around him were definitely connected to the CIA and to American interests. But as I tried to point out in that timeline, what America was doing was completely wrong. And what they did not expect, because, again, they were probably racists who thought a few Arabs in the desert could not have pulled this off, was that they were actually smarter than the Americans thought, and they learned how to turn the manipulation back around on them. They were able to get in the country, set up sleeper cells here, including one in Anaheim, and do whatever they needed to do with people coming in under the radar and with the okay of the CIA. So we were bringing in people into this country who were our enemies because they thought they were doing something else. It's really utterly maddening. It's like thinking about the $53 million that was given to the Taliban in May 2001. When September 11th happened, all anybody talked about was the Taliban, the Taliban, the Taliban, the Taliban. It wasn't until much later that the words Al-Qaeda became a part of the media coverage. And I question what Al-Qaeda is anyway. That seems to be a phantom that doesn't really exist except directly tied in with bin Laden. What does all this mean? I think that bin Laden was part of a group of people that planned the attack on September 11th. I'm not afraid of these people. They're not going to kill us. I mean, they might. They're going to probably kill some more people, okay, because that's what they do. And who knows? Maybe there'll be an attack on L.A. and Kill Radio will be wiped out and I'll get killed and all that. But it's still not going to bring down the country. But to deny that there was a bin Laden or to deny that that these people do hate us for very good reasons. I'm not saying that there's not a reason to hate the U.S. But that's silly. And to say that they couldn't have done what happened on September 11th, that's really silly. That's denying the evidence. It wasn't a false flag operation. That's 9/11 truth buzzwords. It wasn't an inside job. Anyway, Osama bin Laden timeline. You're listening to Kill Radio. I'm Bennett, your faithless host.
So there we go. That is a rundown of bin Laden up until roughly 2007. Actually, up until 2001 at the time of the September 11th bombings, because my point in doing the piece was to show the mindset that would lead from a young man receiving money, multi-million dollars from his very wealthy family, the wealthiest family in Arabia, wealthy Saudi family, and instead of being a playboy who goes out and buys, you know, soccer teams or football teams or picks up glamorous movie stars, bin Laden went off to become a fighter in the Afghan war against the Soviets. And we've seen how that coalesced, and it turned him into this jihad character attacking the United States and ending with an attack, a physical attack on the United States. And one piece of news I got last night was that now they're saying that Al-Qaeda was actually formed in 1998-99, even though the ideas for it, as I just listed, go back into the 80s, that the actual organization was formed in 1999, and it was completely founded and funded by Osama bin Laden with the millions of dollars that he inherited from his family. So, bin Laden is dead. Long live the king. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch old witch, the wicked witch. And, of course, we are having people acting very unseemly. We get headlines like, may he rot in hell, which none of that's good. However, I understand where the feeling comes from, and I find it very interesting. So this is DJ Bennett reporting to you, thinking about the past and wondering what's going to happen next now that the United States has gotten Osama bin Laden.